Today's episode is sponsored by MassMutual.
Retired WNBA legend Sue Bird knows just how far women's basketball has come.
We've been trying to get people to pay attention, to see what we've all seen behind closed doors. And now it feels like society finally caught up with us.
Inside the momentum behind women's basketball and the work still ahead with one of the players who laid the foundation.
Three on two, Bird. She's got Ezzy on the right, Jewel on the left. She's just going to call her own number three, Sue Bird.
I'm Nyla Boudou from Axios. This is One Big Thing.
Here comes Clark in transition, bounces, Stolke able to finish. What a dish from Caitlin Clark.
That's been the soundtrack to basketball this year. Explosive enthusiasm for the women.
Here comes Clark. How will she go for history? There it is! The all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball.
And if you don't typically follow the women's NCAA tournament, you're not alone if you did this year. For the first time ever in 2024, more people watched the women's NCAA championship than the men's final. Ticket prices for the women's final were almost double that of the men's. That, of course, is thanks in large part to some star players, including the University of Iowa's Caitlin Clark and LSU's Angel Reese.
Here's Reese. We're going to go to work on Stolke. Reese flips it up and in. She is unstoppable tonight.
Suddenly, it felt like everyone was a fan, or at least was curious about these phenoms. The WNBA, where Clark and Reese will begin their professional careers this season, has been around for almost 30 years, but it's been overshadowed in terms of dollars and audience by the NBA. One of the OG WNBA players who pushed for more visibility for the sport also made a big splash during Women's March Madness, just like this year's greats, only back in 2002.
Here comes Sue Bird on the run for the Huskies. Pull up jumper, and Sue Bird has the game's first 2 points.
Sue Bird went on to play for the Seattle Storm, where she became one of the greatest point guards of all time and arguably the greatest player in WNBA history. Here's what that looks like by the numbers. 333. Sue Bird holds the record for most games won in the league. 5, her Olympic gold medals. And 4, her WNBA titles. And finally, 3, she's the only WNBA player to win titles in 3 different decades.
The final seconds, and the Seattle Storm has won their first ever WNBA title. Ann Donovan, the first ever female head coach to win the championship.
In my experience winning championships, it was at places where it was the standard, where you like had to live up to this expectation. Now I'm in Seattle where they've never done it, and I've never been a part of that. I've never been a part of something where you're starting it, where you're helping kind of set that standard, where you're the one that gets to be a part of the first. I've never been a part of like the first, and so this was my first.
That's from Sue Bird's new documentary, In the Clutch. Another first? In 2019, Bird was part of negotiating a major new collective bargaining agreement for the WNBA. It resulted in big changes in compensation for women's basketball players, raising the salary cap by 30%. But as you probably heard, there's still a long way to go. Since her retirement in 2022, Sue Bird hasn't stepped away from her sport, most recently becoming Chief Strategy Officer for Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, which is working to change how brands interact with women's sports. She's also launched a production company with fiancé and soccer legend Megan Rapinoe, and an athlete-focused media brand with 3 other world-class female athletes.
I want to have my fingerprints, you know, on the world of women's sports in a different way.
Bird was one of the voices this week at TN50, the Business of Women's Sports Summit, from Axios and Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. So we're bringing you a special episode today from the sidelines of the summit. Axios senior media reporter Sarah Fisher sat down with Sue Bird backstage to ask about her one big thing, capitalizing on this moment for women's basketball.
We just came off of an incredible NCAA championship, record viewership, so much momentum around Caitlin Clark. How has women's sports evolved since your time, your heyday, up until now?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, where I've landed with it is, of course, women's sports has evolved. All things do, right? The product on the floor has only gotten better. You know, in a lot of ways in the world of women's basketball, I usually call it the survival of the fittest. For there's 12 teams, 12 roster spots. I mean, it's quite literally the survival of the fittest. So what that leads you to is a wonderful product. The players only get better, so on and so forth. But the like I said, where I've landed with it is, you know, women's sports has been on a trajectory. We've been screaming from, you know, the mountaintops about the things we needed, the things that were lacking. We've been trying to get people to pay attention, to see what we've all seen behind closed doors. And now it feels like society finally caught up with us.
Yes, but I can't help but think it has, but it also hasn't. I mean, if you take a look at someone like Caitlin Clark or any of the other seniors that are getting drafted right now, they're not getting paid what their male counterparts are getting paid at the NBA. So how do we close that gap?
Yeah, so that's always been, for me personally, where I go with that is, it was never about, oh, this is what, you know, NBA player X makes, and therefore WNBA player X should make the same. That's not the conversation in reality. What in reality has been happening is we haven't had the same opportunity to grow in the ways that the NBA has had. So we haven't had the same corporate sponsorship opportunities. We haven't had the same media coverage opportunities. All of that leads to huge media rights deals, which is really where the money, where that flow of money comes from, right? It comes from a lot of different buckets, but that's the main one. And now that things have turned a corner, and there are a variety of reasons, I think that that's happened. You know, in the next CBA, I'm sure the players will be negotiating for a different salary structure, but I was actually a part of the CBA negotiations in 2019. And at that time, that was the best deal. But it's like any deal, right? Right now we're talking about sports and CBAs. You can't have the next one without the one before it. And at times it has to be baby steps. Hopefully this one's a giant step, but you need to build on the ones that came before you in order to get to the next one. And I used to always joke, it was the CBA before the CBA. We understood that what we did in our last CBA was a restructure, and it wasn't where we wanted to finish things. We knew it was just gonna set it up or set the next CB up to be a killer one.
More with Sue Bird coming up. This is One Big Thing from Axios.
MassMutual knows that finances can lead to uncomfortable conversations.
We should talk about our finances.
Sure. How about Friday evening?
Soccer practice. Saturday morning?
Soccer game. Maybe Wednesday night?
Girls night. How about Thursday?
Guys night.
Let me see your phone. So next time we're both free is 3 months from now.
According to Calendar.com, the average American schedules less than 4.5 hours a year for finances. Your finances deserve more. Go to MassMutual.com today. Feel comfortable about tomorrow.
Welcome back to One Big Thing from Axios. I'm Nyla Boodoo. In 2002, Sue Bird was the number one overall pick in the WNBA draft, the first guard to take that spot. This year, it was another point guard at the top.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Clark's now headed to the WNBA, where ticket sales for the Indiana Fever are following a similar pattern to Clark's Iowa games. Other teams are even moving games against the Fever to larger arenas. Here in D.C., the Mystics are moving from their 4,200-seat home arena to the 20,000-seat Capital One arena, where the Wizards of the NBA play, to meet capacity. And the WNBA has said it will broadcast more Fever games on its national and streaming platforms this upcoming season. This all seems like good news for women's basketball, right? Yes, but who knows if the so-called Caitlin Clark effect will extend to deeper interest in the game overall, and how long the buzz will last. That's why teams want to take advantage of this financial moment. More on that later. In any case, Clark will now face a similar transition to the one Sue Bird faced more than 20 years ago when heading to the pros. Here's more of Axios' Sarah Fisher talking with Sue Bird this week.
So let's talk about your experience a little bit, going from a player to now an entrepreneur, but even going from a college player to going to professional player. You talk about this a little bit in your documentary. What is that transition like from college to professional? What's the hardest parts? What's the most exciting parts?
Taking me back. I think the hardest part, so there's like a hard part that exists as an athlete. You're going from the college game, which is amazing, to the professional game, which is now, You're playing against players that have been doing this for a long time, people that are feeding their families off this money. It's a different motivation. It's a different level of experience. It's a different set of skills. It's a different strength. It's all, there's so many differences. And you're learning how to become an adult at the same time. So you're out there getting challenged on the court in ways and stretched in ways, and you're simultaneously learning what it is to be an adult. You now have all this free time. You have nobody dictating your schedule. You know, in college, it's really regimented. You eat team meals together. You obviously have class and things of that nature. And then you become an adult, a professional. And now it's on you to make sure you're ready for your game. It really becomes a job. And so there's just all the same adjustments that every college kid, when they get their first job, deal with. So do professional athletes. Interestingly enough, when you come, you know, when you retire, you're now in a similar situation. It's almost like this, you're losing more structure. So you were super structured in college. You have some structure in the pros, but less, so you're figuring that out. Now I'm retired, I got no structure. I'm like, what do I do? Do I set an alarm? Do I have to get up? I'm making my own schedule. At times, obviously, I have business things that require me to be certain places, but you know, it's learning how to be, not an adult, but it's learning this whole other, this whole other aspect of life.
That's an amazing thing to get to the point where you can just take advantage of business opportunities and not feel like you have to pound the pavement, like you earn that spot.
Towards the end of my career, I played overseas for 10 seasons while I was playing in the WNBA. I stopped when I was around 33 or 4, and I really wanted to make sure that I used my off seasons wisely. And I wanted to make sure that I, you know, stepped outside of my comfort zone and tried different things, whether it was broadcasting. I worked in an NBA front office for a season, and other things sprinkled in between, because I didn't want to retire and not have any idea. And I really kind of always joke that I never wanted to have a real job. That was like my goal. So if somebody had asked me at 37, like, oh, what do you want to do when you're trying? Not have a real job, right? I wanted to be able to dictate things. I wanted to do things on my own time, my own schedule. I wanted to have my fingerprints, you know, on the world of women's sports in a different way.
So just final thing, going back to the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, I think so many people have said this feels like super, you know, many years later. Do you see yourself in her? And do you think she sees some of herself in you?
I mean, I don't shoot like that, so it's hard to say that I see anything in that regard, but that just speaks to her exceptional talent. I think she does have a maturity in how she carries herself. I think she has a tendency to meet every moment. I look back at my career and I hope that somebody would describe me in that way.
Thank you, Sue, for your time.
No problem. My pleasure.
That was Axios senior media reporter Sarah Fisher with retired WNBA star Sue Bird in New York City this week. Before we go, some final thoughts from the Business of Women's Sports Summit that perked up my ears this week, including the pressure on the WNBA to capitalize on the financial opportunity of this coming season. Jess Smith is the president of the WNBA's forthcoming Golden State team and previously worked in revenue for the Angel City Football Club, a National Women's Soccer League team in LA, founded in 2020.
When you sit at a Liberty game, for those of you who have been in market, or an Angel City game, there's a feeling there. You walk in those arenas and stadiums and your shoulders drop. You feel safe. You feel seen. You still feel just as passionate about the refs being terrible, because they are. Just kidding. I don't even think I'm allowed to say that anymore. But there's a feeling in those venues that you can't replicate. And I think when people turn on the opportunity to experience that, there's something that unlocks in their brain of like, oh, this is how I want people to feel around my brand.
And the business opportunity is there for the taking, says Molly K. Helene, a reporter at Sports Business Journal.
I mean, women's sports are not having a moment. It's been here. Everyone else is just now finally paying attention. And having such a big platform, I'm able to help other people who might not have seen that yet. But it's happening across all sports. Like, you've got gymnastics on ABC. You've got, like, women's college softball outperforms baseball constantly. So I think on the business side of it, being able to express how women's sports is just good business and having such wide viewership, I think, is going to be very pivotal.
And one final piece of business news for you. The Seattle Storm, where Sue Bird played for all 19 seasons of her WNBA career, announced yesterday that Bird has joined the team's ownership group, Force 10 Hoops, ahead of the 2024 WNBA season. In the announcement, Bird said, quote, "Investing in women's sports isn't just about passion, it's smart business."
Thank you.
that's it for this week's edition of One Big Thing. Send us a voice memo with your feedback, story ideas, or your favorite women's sports moments. The number is 202-918-4893. The One Big Thing team includes supervising producer Alexandra Boti and sound engineer Jake Howitt, who also composed and produced our music, along with Alex Sugiyara. Sarah Kehlani Gu is executive editor of Axios Live and New Platforms, and Asia Whitaker Moore is Axios' editor-in-chief. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll see you back here next Thursday.
MassMutual knows that finances can lead to uncomfortable conversations.
What about that guy who's always trying to get you to invest in his business?
His last idea was generating power with electric eels.
Oh, what about Uncle Paul?
You mean Uncle Audit? How about that coworker who retired early?
She's off the grid. So unless you send a carrier pigeon...
What about,
According to the Financial Educators Council, 39% of Americans don't have someone they can ask for trusted financial guidance. Go to massmutual.com today. Feel comfortable about tomorrow.